Hello and welcome. You are tuned in to another episode of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on the program each and every week, I find and feature themes relating to Appalachian culture and then play songs and feature tales and stories all about our topic of choice. Well, today it is March, and we are talking all about maple syrup here on the show. I'm joined by special guest Brandon Daniels of Daniels Maple Products and Maple Syrup from West Virginia. Brandon and Janelle Daniels own this family business, and he started making maple syrup back in his early teens. He's been able to continue the tradition of maple syrup making for over 25 years now. And I'm so excited to bring you our conversation in which we learn all about the maple syrup making process. So please stick around and stay tuned with me here this hour on Mountain Song and Story. I've got a wonderful show lined up for you, filled with maple syrup talk and maple syrup songs. Kicking things off right now is a little Roger Miller tune, Dang Me.
Well, here I sit high getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night and running wild. A woman sitting home with a month old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more time. Just sitting around drinking with the rest of the guys. Six rounds bought and I bought five. And I spent the groceries and half the rent. I like $14.27. Or dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more time. Roses are red, violets are purple. Sugar's sweet and so is maple syrup. I'm the seventh out of seven sons. Baptist pistol, I'm a son of a gun. Well, dang me, dang me. Down take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
All right, kicking things off this hour on Mountain Song and Story with a little Roger Miller there. March is the month when the sap flows from the maple trees. Without a slow transition from winter to spring, we'd have no maple syrup. And today, I'm looking into and uncovering all sorts of everything maple syrup. And later on here this hour, we'll get into an interview with maple syrup maker from West Virginia, Brandon Daniels. But first, a little maple syrup facts from the old farmer's almanac here for you. So a maple tree can yield sap used for maple syrup for 100 years, which is a pretty long time. A maple tree must be around 45 years old before it is tapped for syrup making, and it takes an average of 40 gallons of sap to produce 1 gallon of syrup. Although maple trees are found in other continents, no other continent's maple can compare to the sweetness of the sugar maple trees that are found here in North America. Frosty nights and warm sunny days are said to encourage the sap to flow. And when buds appear on the trees in late March or April, the sap is said to turn bitter in flavor. So a few maple syrup facts for you there. Those are from the Old Farmer's Almanac. We are going to keep moving on here through this show here on Mountain Song and Story this hour. We're going to get into some music now. Here now is Love in Maple Syrup from Gordon Lightfoot. And remember, stay tuned. We've got an awesome interview coming up here in just a bit about maple syrup making.
Thank you. Love and maple syrup go together like the sticky winds of winter when they meet. When lonely lovers come to rest beneath the trees, they do the best, but still they can't be free. Looking for the world to be anything but what they see, longing to be understood by the heart that shapes the world. If you go into the forest and gaze up through the leaves and see the sky is almost white, you can learn to understand what makes the forest treat the man like a mother's only child. In the north, when winter's claw relaxes now to keep the law of nature in control, people come and stand in line to rob the forest of a wine, but they don't feel the cold. Looking for the world to be anything but what they see, longing to be understood by the heart that shapes the world. Love and maple syrup shine like embers warm, like thoughts divine, they tell us it is spring. Love and maple syrup stir the thoughts of people into words of songs that they can sing. Love and maple syrup go together like the sticky winds of winter when they meet. When lonely lovers come to rest beneath the trees, they do the best, but still they can't be free. Looking for the world to be anything but what they see, longing to be understood by the heart that shapes the world.
Promise.
Wait, Thomas.
I might not be green when I return to thee. Let your heart not be chilled, nor your eyes be filled, 'cause I love you though you say the leaves are falling slowly down. So I'll keep my promise,
Willie Thomas,
and there'll be spring, 'cause with the birds I'll sing my love again to you. Keep your promise,
Willie Thomas.
Some maple syrup related music there for you. Hank Snow and Anita Carter, Keep Your Promises, Willie Thomas. I had not heard that song until I had looked into some music for today's program. Really liked uncovering that. I always like uncovering new quote unquote music. It's a lot of fun putting these shows together and finding and uncovering music. So yeah, Hank Snow and Anita Carter there. And then we heard an instrumental tune called Maple Leaf Rag. You've probably recognized it. This is by Scott Joplin, an instrumentalist. Scott Joplin was an African-American composer and pianist, and he achieved fame for his ragtime compositions, and he was really dubbed the king of ragtime. The tune we just heard, Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag, was published in 1899. The tune is the biggest selling piece of instrumental ragtime music, and it's said that 1 million copies ended up in American homes before phonographs and piano rolls took over the market for sheet music. So pretty interesting. I've got a great article about Scott Joplin that I will have posted on the Mountain Song and Story blog page after the program if you would like to learn more about him. Okay, so we are going to get on into an interview here now with Brandon Daniels of Daniel's Maple Syrup, a maple syrup farm in West Virginia, to learn all about the maple syrup making process. Joining me now is Brandon Daniels of Daniel's Maple Syrup Farm. Welcome, Daniel. I'm so excited to get to chat with you here today on Mountain Song and Story. We are talking about maple syrup, and I thought that you all would be the best people to talk to about the process, maybe a little bit about the history and what you all do up at Daniel's Maple Syrup Farm.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And you all are a small family-owned business, so let's just start by you telling our listeners how you all got started with the maple syrup farm. I know that you all have been in business for over 25 years, which is really amazing and fantastic that you've been able to carry on a tradition like maple syrup making for that long. So just tell us how you all got started.
I started, honestly, when I was just a young teenager. Every year we would go to the Maple Festival ahead over in Highland County, Virginia. We would always go over there, and I was about 13 or 14 years old, the best I can remember. And I decided, you know, I thought I could possibly do that myself. And so my dad had found a small 2x3 stainless pan, and I started making syrup in the backyard with that and about 10 or 15 taps. And that's we're getting ready to do season number 33. I'll be 45 next month, and I think this will be, it's been 32 or 33 years since we started.
Wow.
Or since I started.
Yeah, that's a long time to keep something like a family business running. I know you all have some children, and you all are just a really small operation. Do you kind of envision some of your kids taking it over and carrying the traditions forward into the future?
Possibly. I was kind of actually the first one in the family that started it. So it's you know, mostly I do it myself. You know, my wife and my two children do help some. But my son's in college now, and so he's not available to help much during the season. So, but yeah, we started with 10 taps, and over the years we've grown to where we're pretty state of the art modern facility now. And I have 2,500 taps.
Yeah.
So we're processing sap from about six different properties that we have taps on. They're close to our facility.
Well, why don't you walk me through the process of maple syrup making? I, along with our listeners, probably don't know what it's like, and I'm really interested. I imagine it's probably a pretty long process. How do you get from the sap in the tree to maple syrup on the table?
Sure. So we have, like I said, we have taps on about six different properties. We have about 15 to 20 miles of tubing in the woods, and those connect together and run into large stainless tanks in five different locations. And so, you know, we'll drill the taps in around the 1st of February. We usually make all of our syrup in February, and then into March, just depending on how the weather was. Last year we ended on March the 10th, which is early. Most of the time we go to March the 20th to 25th. And it's all dependent on the weather. It takes the nights, when it freezes at nights, the trees sense the freeze, and right before it freezes, they'll pull in a bunch of water from the ground. And then when it freezes and then pulling in that extra water, it builds up pressure inside the trees. And so, you know, we're drilling a 5/16 tap hole in the trees, about 1.5 inches deep, and the spout goes in that. And so when it thaws out, then the pressure inside the trees is higher than the atmospheric pressure. And so what that does is it pushes the sap out the tap holes or into the tubing, and then those all connect together. The smaller lateral lines or branch lines run into the larger main lines or a trunk line, which carries it to the stainless tanks. Sap, when it comes out of the tree, it's perfectly clear. It's just like crystal clear water. And it usually takes about 60 to 80 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup.
Wow.
It's 100% pure. Nothing is added to it. You know, we're state-of-the-art, so we use a reverse osmosis. So we take out a lot of the water. You know, we'll run up to 450 PSI under high pressure through membranes. And so we'll take out a lot of the water before we boil it. But you just boil down the sap, and over time, the cooking, the caramelization, the color develops from the cooking and the caramelization of the sugar. Nothing is added. It's 100% pure. And so one thing about maple syrup, it has a lot of vitamins and minerals in it that no other sweetener really has, because the trees pull that up out of the ground. So when you cook it and afterwards we filter it, you know, some of the minerals will turn to a solid form, so you filter those out. They don't hurt you any. It's just you know, people, that looks like a little layer of white sand in the bottom of your containers if you don't filter it. But this syrup still has most of the minerals and the vitamins in it. And it, like I said, it's 100% pure. It's about 99.5% all natural sucrose. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot better for you. It has a lower glycemic index. So it's a really healthy, natural sweetener.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, you said 70 gallons makes about a gallon of maple syrup.
Yeah, we're usually between 60 and 80. Most years we're around 75 to 77 to make 1 gallon of syrup.
Wow.
The last 2 years we've processed, and you know, in 5 to 6 weeks we processed over 50,000 gallons of sap both years.
Wow.
And we have to haul all that in. None of it runs to our building. All of our taps are within a mile of our building, but they're kind of all around it, so we have to haul it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so we're hauling it all in and processing it, boiling it down. So
what happens if you, so you said the sap is clear whenever it comes right out of the tree, and then you caramelize it, which gets that brown color. Can you actually eat it whenever it's clear, or is it kind of necessary to cook it down and caramelize it?
Yeah, you have to cook it because you have to boil off the excess water. And so it has to be cooked. And the cooking also, it pasteurizes it. And, because the syrup is technically 7.1 degrees above a boiling point of water. When it gets to that, that's when it becomes maple syrup. So it does have to be boiled and cooked, or, you know, and so the just sugar as it cooks, it naturally caramelizes. And so it's not scorching or burning. It's just a natural color of, you know, caramelization from the cooking process. But yes, it does have to be boiled and cooked. So there's no way to get it, you know, 100% clear.
Yeah. I was just wondering, cause that's pretty interesting. And so you may have just answered this, but how much is it that you produce each year? I imagine it's, you kind of probably have a limited quantity with being a small operation, but, and 70 to 80 gallons for just 1 gallon of maple syrup in the end it feels like a lot of work to get there.
Yeah, we're normally around 600 to 800 gallon of maple syrup is how much we produce.
And do you all sell your products locally and regionally, or do you all sell them nationally? Or?
Yeah, it's mostly locally. We have a lot of stores we supply. So most of it goes to stores. We do have a website, so we ship a lot all over the entire U.S. from our website or our commercial Facebook page we have. And then we also sell it direct locally.
Yeah.
We have a large customer base, you know, just from making maple syrup for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm, I imagine. So tell me a little bit about what's the most difficult thing about this craft, and also what's the easiest? What keeps it going for over 30 years now?
I guess it's just a love of being out in the woods and just being out in nature. And it's the first agricultural crop of the year, and it's something so unique. It's all very difficult. Nothing's easy. It's a lot of work. Like I said earlier, we have 15 to 20 miles of tubing. So you got trees falling on it, tree branches, animals like to chew on it and damage it. So there's a lot of repairs that has to be done every year to that. And then just to maintain it, because it stays up year round. It's a food grade tubing. It's designed to stay up in the woods for many years. But, you know, it's suspended in the woods, you know, 4 to 8 feet off the ground. And so just a lot of work. I mean, the hauling, you know, all the sap has to be hauled, has to be pumped into our trailer we haul with, has to be pumped out into the building. You know, it's all a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the processing, the cooking, the bottling, it's all very difficult, you know, but it's still rewarding. I mean, nothing tastes like maple syrup. It just has a phenomenal flavor, and it's just a love.
Yeah, nobody said farming was
very
difficult. Go ahead.
No, it's very, at times it's very discouraging and very difficult, you know, and, you know, yeah, I've probably wanted to quit about 3,000 times over the last 30 plus years, but, you know, it's like everything else, but it is rewarding.
Yeah, nobody said farming was easy. I grew up on a small farm, a cattle farm myself, so I'm, you know, watching my dad fight with cows, I imagine it's kind of the same thing. Any kind of farming practices can be tough years and easier years, but it's it I imagine, yeah, it is pretty difficult. And, you know, there are a lot of, it seems like there are not a lot of maple syrup producers. I just did a quick Google search and found you all up in Daniels, West Virginia. And our radio station, Radio Bristol, here is based in Bristol, Virginia. So that's Southwest Virginia, Northeast Tennessee. It didn't seem like there was a lot of, or any really, maple syrup farms in this area, which we are a little further south. Does the climate need to be really cold in order to have maple trees and actually produce maple out of them, or?
Yeah, you need the freezing nights and the thawing days. You know, there are some producers down in West Virginia, or I'm sorry, into the area you are in Virginia. There are some there. There are some even, you know, further south of you. Different directions, but it is a little bit more conducive in West Virginia, but it's so much work and so much labor, and there's a lot of capital investment also that, you know, and it's a lot, quite, you know, with the payback and return, that it's just difficult, you know, for people to justify, you know, the work and the investment and the time, you know, to produce it. But, you know, I would guess in Virginia there's probably, you know, 50 to 75 producers, and probably in West Virginia we probably have 200 to 300 people that produce syrup. Most of them are just small backyard hobby operations, but there are, you know, quite a few in each state that do produce maple syrup.
Yeah, and how long does it take to do y'all ever grow any trees, or are you kind of just, some trees on your property, I imagine, are probably maple trees are already there. Do you ever plant any maple trees, and how long would a tree kind of come into maturity before you can actually harvest it?
Mostly what we tap are about 70% sugar maples. The other 30% are red maples. And it takes about 40 years for a sugar maple to get to 10 inches in diameter. They're a very slow growing tree. All of our trees are 100% all naturally grown, or, you know, God planted them, however you want to put it. So, you know, we're using natural trees. We're not using chemicals or anything on our trees, or, you know, anything like that. All of our syrup is organically produced. And so it's, like I said, it's 100% all natural.
Yeah.
But everything we tap is either on properties or properties we lease. And like I said, they're all natural trees. Well, you know, I've planted some trees in the past, and, you know, we got some, and I don't know that any of them survived. It just seems like when you know, plant a tree in the woods, it's difficult to get them to grow, even planting them as small seedlings.
Right. So I guess whenever we think of maple syrup farm, we're not thinking of, like, Christmas tree farms. You know, the trees are already out there in the woods, and you're not, like, planting an acre of maple trees. And judging by all the piping and the mileage y'all have, it's kind of just what's already there. So that's pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah. It's a unique fact most people wouldn't know, that Vermont probably produces 100 times the maple syrup that West Virginia does. But West Virginia actually has more trees, you know, and then there's areas in northern and eastern Virginia that have a lot of trees also. But West Virginia has more trees than Vermont does. It's just, you know, it's a lot of work, and it's very difficult to get people to start producing syrup in this area.
Do you know much about the history of maple syrup making in Appalachia and West Virginia and just this region of the United States?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, you know, many years ago, 100 years ago, there was a lot of people in West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia made a lot of maple syrup, and, you know, and probably that area of Virginia also, and in the Appalachian area, because people made it as their sweetener. It was an all-natural sweetener. And so families did it. They would just maybe make a few gallon for themselves, but it was, you know, it was what they used to survive on. You know, you just didn't run down to Walmart and go buy a 25-pound bag of sugar. I mean, you know, you grew or you harvested everything you could.
Yeah,
But over the years, people's just, you know, like I said, it's so much work. You know, it's very labor intensive. It's very time intensive, and it's so much work that, you know, that it's just become a lost art, for, like, I guess, the good expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely sounds like that. And just listening to you talk about the time you need to put into something like this is I think that might turn some people away if they're interested in getting started. But I think it's so important to have these farms here locally and regionally, just to preserve this tradition and preserve part of the culture. So I really personally value what you all are doing up there. And I think it's really great to turn learn a little bit more about it. So where can people go to learn more about your farm, Daniel's Maple Syrup, and what you all are doing? And also, I was wondering, do you have any educational opportunities for any folks to come by and kind of learn about your process?
Yeah, we normally have an open house in the spring, but it got canceled last year due to COVID, and probably with all the issues going on right now with COVID, we're not going to have one this spring also. But we usually do have one in the spring, and we do have some information on our website, where people can order products or learn a little bit more about us. But, with the whole situation with COVID, and it's much worse now than it has been, and so that's kind of put a damper on, most of the educational things like that.
Mm-hmm. And your website it's just danielsmaple.com, I believe.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for being here and talking with me today here on our program. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Tony. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Stood a maple on the hill. There I sat with my Geneva long ago, when the moon was shining brightly, you could hear the whippoorwill as we sat beneath the maple on the hill. We would sing love songs together when the birds had gone to rest. We would listen to the murmur of the rill. Then she'd fold her arms around me, lay her head upon my breast. As we sat beneath the maple on the hill, sat beneath the maple on the hill. Oh, don't forget me, little darling, when they lay me down to die. Just one little wish, darling, now I crave. When you linger there in sadness, thinking, let your teardrops kiss the flowers on my grave. Thank you. waves on that bright and peaceful shore. Even now I hear them coming o'er the hill. So goodbye, my little darling, yes, the time has come to part. I must leave you and the maple on the hill.
And gather firewood late in the winter. It's maple syrup time. You need warm and sunny days, but still a cold and freezing nighttime. For just a few weeks, maple syrup time. We boil and boil and boil and boil it all day long, till 97% of water evaporates, just like this song. And when what is left is syrupy, don't leave it too long. Up the fire in maple syrup time. I know it's not the quickest system, but each year I can't resist it. Get out the buckets and tap the trees in time. Making it is half the fun and satisfaction when it's done. Keep up the fire in maple syrup time. My grandpa said perhaps it's just a waste of time. Ah, but no more than this attempt to make a happy little rhyme. So now swing your tail or pat your feet, but keep in good time. Keep up the fire, maple syrup time. In rhyme, they'll find in life or revolution, rarely is there a quick solution. Anything worthwhile takes a little time. We boil and boil and boil and boil it all life long. When what is left is syrupy, don't leave it on the flame too long. But now seize the minute, build a new world, sing an old song. Keep up the fire, maple syrup time. Keep up the fire, maple syrup time. Keep up the fire, maple syrup time. Split wood, not atoms. Keep up the fire, maple syrup time.
Sitting in a treehouse, me and my baby, up where the whippoorwills nest all day. We cuddle all night, kissing lots of kisses, me and my baby. Ask any whippoorwill and you say we're doing all right. When supper is through, I hurry on to a maple tree house rendezvous. As soon as I climb the ladder, then I'm aglow and oh, so dark.
treehouse. Love of my baby. Someday we'll marry and settle down, my baby and me. When supper is through, I hurry on to make a treehouse rendezvous. As soon as I climb the ladder that night, aglow and oh, so darn excited. Sitting in a treehouse, love on my baby. Someday we'll marry and settle down, my baby and me. How happy we'll be on top of a tree, my baby and me.
Marty Robbins there with Sitting in a Treehouse, Maple Syrup Time, a song all about describing the maple syrup making process. Folk singer Pete Seeger and Maple on the Hill there by Norman Blake. We are moving on and rolling through this hour here on Mountain Song and Story. You are listening to Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. And I've got time for some more music for you this hour. Right now I'm going to play some sweet sugary tunes in reference to the sweet sugar of maple syrup. So we've got some sugar tunes coming up for you next. Sugar Time from Kitty Wells. Here it is.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time. Be my little sugar and love me all the time. Honey in the morning, honey in the evening, honey at supper time. Be my little honey and love me all the time. Now sugar time,
now sugar time
is any time that you're near, cause you're so dear. Don't be wrong,
don't you wrong,
just be my honeycomb.
Honeycomb, honeycomb, honeycomb.
We'll live in a heaven of bliss.
Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening,
sugar at supper time.
Be my little sugar and love me all the time.
Be my little honey and love me all the time.
Sugar in my bowl, I ain't fooling. want some sugar in my bowl. So they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
The Sugar Tree there from Pam Tillis, and before that tune we heard I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl from Nia Simone. Had to play some sugar music there because we're talking all about maple syrup on today's show. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch this program, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past programs if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program page on over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I've got all the songs and materials and resources from today's show, so go over there and check that out, listenradiobristol.org. Special thanks once again to my guest, Brandon Daniels of Daniels Maple Syrup Farm. Really appreciate him being able to talk to us here today all about the maple syrup making process. It's definitely a very labor-intensive farming practice. Okay, so I've got time to leave you with one more song today. I've got an awesome maple syrup related Prince tune here called Starfish and Coffee. I hope you'll be jamming to it the rest of the day. Thank you so much again, and I will catch you next week.
Ordinary compared to Cynthia Rose. She always stood at the back of the line, a smile beneath her nose. Her favorite number was 20, and every single day. If you ask her what you had for breakfast, this is what she'd say. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds and a tangerine, a side on a ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Cynthia wore the prettiest dress with different color socks. Sometimes I wonder if the mates were in her lunchbox. Like the one she draws on every wall, in every school. But it's alright, it's for worthy cause. Gonson, I keep saying starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam, butterscotch clouds, tangerine, side on a ham. If you set your mind free, baby, maybe you understand. Starfish and coffee, maple syrup and jam. Oh,